ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे वी रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन त्रिनवार्ता टेक्स्ट 10 एंड 11 Na te shraddha dhire gopa Na te shraddha dhire gopa Balabhashita mityuta Balabhashita mityuta Aprameyam balam tasya Aprameyam balam tasya Balakasya na te viduhu Balakasya na te viduhu Na te shraddha dhire gopa Balabhashita mityuta Aprameyam balam tasya Balakasya na te viduhu. Translation. The assembled gopas and gopis, unaware of Krishna, that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children, and therefore they neglected the statements as being childish talk. Text 11. Rudantam sutamadaya yashoda graha shankita krita svastyayanam viprai suktai stanam apayayat. Translation. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever there is some danger or some inauspicious occurrence, it is the custom of Vedic civilization to have qualified brahmanas immediately chant Vedic hymns to counteract it. Mother Yashoda did this properly and allowed the baby to suck her breast. Srila Prabhupada ki. Na te shraddha dhire gopa balabhashita mityuta aprameyam balam tasya balakasya na te viduhu. The assembled gopis and gopas, unaware of Krishna, that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children and therefore they neglected the statements as being childish talk. Rudantam sutamadaya yashoda graha shankita krita svastyayanam viprai suktai stanam apayayat. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Hare Krishna. It's a great honor for me to speak in front of all of you today. And the verses which we read are very important for our meditation. These very verses and many similar verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapuranam, which describe the relationship between the people of Raja and Krishna. whether he is baby Krishna or Kishore Krishna, is supposed to be the source for our greed. For the sacred greed, which is the very foundation of the practice of bhakti, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought to us. We all know what greed is. We all have greed. Greed means insatiable feeling that I want more. And you're, and you're. Give me more, give me more. This feeling of greed is living in our heart from time immemorial. We want something for ourselves. Because ultimately we as living entities want to be happy. And this greed is the very cause of our material existence, of repeated births and deaths in this material world. In this world which Krishna rightly calls Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. It's a torture chamber. We experience all kinds of miseries in this material world only because of this insatiable greed. In Upanishads, this greed for material happiness is compared with the process of drinking salty water of the ocean. If you're traveling in the ocean and you feel some thirst, and the thirst is a legitimate feeling, it's there. But if you try to quench your thirst by salty water of the ocean, what will happen with the thirst? The thirst will only become greater and greater until it kills you completely. So in the same way, when people in this material world are trying to satisfy their greed for happiness, their desire for happiness, which is a legitimate desire, which is a birthright of a living entity. Every living entity in this world is entitled to be happy. But if we are trying to do this in a perverted way, by satisfying our material senses, it's as if we are drinking salty water of the ocean. And the only result which we get out of this is that the thirst will become stronger and stronger and stronger until it ultimately kills us. Well, of course, nothing can kill the soul. You will be born again, don't worry about it. But ultimately, this is a wrong process. And to counteract this process, there is another greed. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to us the process which he brought. He said that to antidote something which is counteracting this eternal greed of our soul for material happiness is the greed for spiritual happiness. And how we get this greed? This is the great question. Because unless we get this greed for spiritual happiness, for spiritual relationship, for relationship of love, we'll go on searching for the happiness in this material world where it doesn't exist. We will waste our time and we will waste our living force and energy for this futile pursuit of material happiness. So the Acharyas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they explained that the source of this greed, the very source of this greed, are the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which described the loving feelings of the inhabitants of Vraj with Krishna. We all assembled here have little proclivity for this spiritual greed. By inconceivable mercy of Guru and Gauranga, of great devotees and first and foremost of Srila Prabhupada, we have got a little shadow of this greed within our heart. And this shadow is called faith. This shadow is called Shraddha. And Shraddha, which is the shadow of real love, is the beginning of our spiritual journey, and Shraddha gives us faith exactly in this. We believe that love is the main thing which we need. That the spiritual love is the only source of happiness which is there. And the spiritual love is the only thing which can actually satisfy the soul. This is the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the foundational verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Savaipum sah paradharma yata bhaktirata okshaje ahaitu kya pratihata yatma suprasidati. And Sudha Goswami was asked, what is the highest welfare for humanity? What is that Shreyas which is the highest? Out of all Shreyas, out of all benefits which we will get, the greatest, what is the greatest? Then Sudha Goswami, he answered with this one verse, that the greatest benefit, greatest welfare, greatest fortune which the living entity can have is this understanding that only thing which we need is love. And the practice which is based on this understanding. The auspiciousness which we all want comes when we have this faith that all I need is love, and this love has to be completely unmotivated. So starting from this foundational verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is being unveiled by Sri Shuka Muni. And ultimately he brings us to Vraj, where we can see this beautiful picture of the relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And by seeing these pictures, by meditating on these pictures again and again and again, we may get the real greed for the same. Now we have just faith, belief that this is what we need. But the process of getting it in reality, of getting it so that it will become the saving grace of our life, is only this. We again and again meditate on this relationship. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his magnificent work, in his glorious work, Gopal Champu, explained this in the very beginning. Taking the position of us, sadhakas, he says about himself, he said that while hearing about Lord Hari, I didn't get any trace of love in my cruel heart. Because of many lifetimes in the material world, we get a very cruel, selfish heart. And this selfish heart is very difficult to melt. It's just hard like a stone. It really wants everything for himself. This is called cruel heart. This cruel, hard heart is there in everyone's, chest or whatever. Chest or brain, or doesn't matter. We have this heart, and Srila Jiva Goswami says, when I heard about Lord Hari, my heart didn't melt. I heard about him and I said, so what? What do I get from this? We can hear about how beautiful he is and, can I eat him or what? What's so good about it? You know, because we have a very deeply rooted selfish nature. And the selfish nature is called stone-like heart. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami said, when I heard about this, my heart did melt. And then he says, when I heard about Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Gopas, my heart didn't melt either. It remained the same. It didn't really move. It didn't really move the least. It remained the same heart. And we know this. For how many years we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And sometimes, you know, I see sometimes people, they make real faces when they chant it, you know. It's just, you know, they really try to make it work, but it doesn't work. So it's okay if it really call for Krishna with this feeling, but ultimately that's what Srila Jiva Goswami speaks about in Gopal Champu. He says, didn't work. When I heard about them, my heart remained the same. When the heart becomes liquid, we can immediately feel the symptoms of this melting of the heart, because our eyes become wet and we really want to give everything which we have, and we really want to sacrifice everything, and the tears flow from our eyes. He says, when I heard about this, it didn't work. What worked? When I again and again, repeatedly meditated on relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Then only something happened with my heart. Gradually, not immediately, but gradually, something I started to understand. What did I start to understand? I started to understand how happy they are. How completely, absolutely, unshakably happy they are. How ready they are to do everything for Gopal, and how Gopal is ready to do everything for them. When I was meditating on this relationship, which is called, technically in Sanskrit, it's called sthayi bhav, and this established relationship of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and Krishna, then only the greed entered my heart. I want the same. Because I also want to be as happy as they are. I also want to have the same relationship with Krishna as they have. So that's why these simple verses are so important for us. They are the source of that meditation which may change our heart. And let's try to meditate a little bit on these verses and on the similar verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which can really transform our heart. What is explained here, when this dramatic lila took place, and Krishna was laying under the cart. He was crying. And Mother Yashoda was very busy because she was receiving guests, and Krishna was crying. And he started, how you call this, making these movements with the leg, the kicking his legs. He started kicking his legs, and you know, because he was really angry, he wanted Yashoda's love in the form of the milk. So he started kicking his legs, and very easily with his legs and feet, which were soft, like the leaves of tamal tree, new leaves of tamal tree, he just kicked this huge cart. And this cart, you know, all the paraphernalia, household paraphernalia on this cart, you know, just flew in different directions. And the car broke into parts, and you know, the whole tumultuous sound was there, and everyone started running. And you know, all these gopis and gopas, they were trying to find the cause. They didn't know that the cause of all causes is right there in front of them. They wanted to find some other cause. They didn't learn Brahma Samhita by heart. Where it is said that Ishvarah Paramah Krishna Sarvakarana Karanam Anadira Adir Govinda. That he is the cause of all causes. So all these inhabitants of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Yashodama and others, they were trying to find some cause of this strange event. And the children which were playing nearby, they started saying, oh, this is Gopal. He just kicked his leg. He just, you know, busily kicked his leg and this huge car broke. And when Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they heard this, they said, no, it cannot be. This is just childish, stupid talk. They're just imagining themselves. It cannot be. So what we see here in these verses, we see two things which is happening simultaneously. And to understand this very clearly, if we understand this very clearly from our position of Tatastha, of course, we would believe children, you know. If the children would tell us that this is Gopal, we would say, yes, 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 of course, this is Gopal. We know. He is the cause of all causes. He did this. But what we see here, we see two things, which we first have to understand from the neutral position. Shukadev Goswami is explaining all these lilas from this Tatastha, from the neutral position. He's doing this for us. First, the beginning of understanding should be this. From this neutral position of the observer who knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we have to see what is happening there. And he says here that they didn't know all these stupid cowherd people, right? You know, all the cowherds, they're not very intelligent, right? They didn't study Srimad Bhagavatam and all other shastras. They didn't know that Krishna's power is unlimited. Aprameya. It is specifically said here, Sukamuni explaining for us, that all these cowherd people, they didn't know about this. And so, again, these two things are happening here. First is amazing display of simultaneous, unlimited power and complete childish-like behavior of Gopal. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this totally, completely bewildering and contradictory simultaneous presence of the two things makes Krishna sweet. Sweetness, he gives the definition of sweetness of Madhurya. He says, what is sweetness? He says that sweetness is such a behavior of God, where his human-like nature or human-like nature of his pastimes are not not broken despite of his manifesting great power. He's manifesting unlimited power, great power. But at the same time, it does not change his human-like mood. He remains the same little child. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is the very definition of sweetness, of Madhurya. Why Krishna is so sweet? Because he manifests this unlimited, his, you know, his ferocious things You know, he sucks out the breath and the life force of Putana. And, you know, while sucking out, he doesn't become big. You know, it's not that he all of a sudden he became big, sucked out, you know, life force, and then again became small. You know, he remains small and he remains completely, totally bewildered child. At the same time, he is doing his killing demon job, you know, very diligently. He sucks out her life from her breast, but at the same time, he remains little innocent child and he just smiles and he doesn't understand what's going on. And he really does not understand this. And this is his sweetness. His human-like nature cannot be broken by this display of power. In the same way here, you know, he didn't become big to kill up this Shakatasura. You know, he remained a small child and, you know, to do this, he didn't make his foot big. You know, like Vamanadev, when he performed his feat, he was also a small, like, you know, boy. But then, you know, to perform his lila, he became really big and everyone saw. You know, but Krishna remained small. At that time, he didn't manifest his universal form. You know, he remained a small child. There is also another incident which is cited to illustrate this or to show this. When Mother Yashoda was binding little child Krishna with the rope. And everyone, including Mother Yashoda, could see the inconceivable manifestation of his power. Because they just were tying ropes together, one after another, and the ropes became very long. You know, somebody said that they became as long as the distance between the earth and moon. I don't know whether it's like this or not. But there was a lot of ropes. You know, Mother Yashoda was sweating. And, you know, Krishna was displaying this power. But while displaying this power, the most amazing thing is that at the same time, Krishna was very much afraid of Mother Yashoda. He's displaying this inconceivable power, you know, she cannot, you know, really tie him. And nobody can understand this. And Krishna is standing there and he's like little child and he's really afraid and he's trembling. And he said, Mother, don't do this to me, please. So, and this is the sweetness. This inconceivable meeting of these two things, the inconceivable power and at the same time, a completely human-like nature. You know, while Mother Yashoda was trying to tie him, basically she couldn't tie him because the universe is inside him. It's not enough to have ropes by the distance between the earth and moon to tie up the universe. The universe is a little bigger than this, you know. So the universe is inside him. So she's trying to measure him by these ropes. But how you can measure somebody who is aprameya, who is immeasurable? He's unlimited. You cannot measure him by all these ropes, no matter how many ropes are there. He's immeasurable. So this thing is there. So this universal form is one of the forms of Krishna. She cannot tie this, but at the same time, Krishna remains the same. His mood remains the same. You know, you can imagine, just imagine yourself in this position. Let's say you are pretending to be a human-like, you know, normal human being. And, you know, somebody is trying to play trick with you and then you manifest your magnificent power. And this moment, you will probably start laughing at them. You know, when Duryodhana was trying to do the same trick with Krishna, Duryodhana was also trying to bind Krishna with the ropes. When Krishna came to Hastinapur, Duryodhana wanted to have the, you know, sequel, remake of the, you know, Krishna Bandhana Lila, Damodar Lila. Heard about this. So he wanted to tie up Krishna, you know. He wanted to imprison him. And he tried. He really tried, you know, but when Krishna, he became really big. And at this time, Krishna started laughing. You know, he was laughing, you know. It was not very funny when he was laughing. It was really, really fearsome, you know. Duryodhana started trembling. Everyone was trembling, and only Dhritarashtra was, you know, crying from his seat. What's going on? What's going on? I don't know. I don't understand. Dhritarashtra was blind. Everyone was just, you know, fainting because they saw what Krishna manifested. You know, everyone was fainting. You know, Krishna was laughing. So when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, Krishna didn't start laughing like at that time. You know. Little child Krishna didn't start laughing. Here I am, you're trying to bind my universal form. How foolish you are. No, he remained little child and he just really couldn't understand what's going on, you know. His eyes were going here and there and the tears were flowing from his eyes. And nobody could understand. And of course, Yashoda couldn't understand. So one thing which is there is that Krishna, no matter how much prowess and power he manifests in Vrindavan, it doesn't change his mood. He has this permanent mood of being a small child, a beloved child of Vrajavasis. And he just basically wants this. He doesn't want anything else. He, every now and then, you know, very often he manifests this power, you know, while he manifested this power when he was showing this to Brahma, when Brahma was there and, you know, he wanted to teach the lesson to Brahma. And he manifested so many forms of, four-handed forms of Krishna, of Narayan, there, but at the same time, he was totally bewildered and he was thinking for himself, you know, what's going on? Where's my friends? Where they are? He couldn't find his friends. So this is one very important thing which we have to always understand when we read these lilas. Krishna does not pretend. Sometimes we feel or we think that Krishna pretends to be the child. No, he does not pretend. He is the child. That's his permanent mood. He, remaining the Supreme Lord, unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord, at the same time, he is totally, completely bewildered and totally, completely surrendered to the will of his devotees. Like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manak Shiksha, in the very last verse of Manakshiksha, in the 11th verse, where he explains to us what we should do, what we're supposed to do. He says a very interesting thing. He says, Samam Shri Rupena Smaravi Vasha Radha Giri Britor. He says that what we want to get, what ultimately, what is our prayojana, what is our goal? Our goal is this Vraje Sakshat Seva Labhana. We want to obtain this Sakshat Seva, the direct service to the Lord. Who is this Lord? Smaravi Vasha Radha Giri Britor. According to Sri Rupa Goswami, Samam Sri Rupena Smaravi Vasha Radha Giri Britor, Vraje Sakshat Seva Labhana, Vidhaye Tadgana Yujo. He says that what we want to obtain Sakshat Seva to this Lord in Vrindavan who has become totally helpless because of love. Smaravi Vasha. Smara is the name of Cupid. Cupid is the god of love. And Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, he explained this very beautifully. Listen, it's extremely important for us to understand. To whom we want to serve? We want to serve to somebody who has become very weak, helpless, because of love. That's what happens with Krishna. Krishna, the psychological effect upon Krishna, when he meets somebody who has love, he becomes weak. The unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord becomes completely, totally surrendered to the love. We know this. Again and again and again, this is manifested in Vrindavan. And Krishna himself, in the form of Narayana, says this to Durvasa Muni. He says, sadunam grasta hridayo. He says, Durvasa Muni came to him, and Durvasa Muni started saying, please do something with this Sudarshana Chakra and with this Ambarish Maharaj. And he says, I cannot. Because sadunam grasta hridayo. They have taken my heart. My heart does not belong to me. All these sadhus, because of their love, because of their qualities, they more or less grabbed my heart. And therefore, don't ask me. My heart is not with me anymore. If somebody comes to you and starts asking something from you, then if your heart becomes little, weak or melted, then you will grant this wish. So Narayan says to Durvasa Muni, I loaned my heart. The heart is not with me. I cannot do anything. If the heart was with me, I would probably consider your request. But I cannot consider your request. Don't expect this from me. Because my heart is not with me. My heart is with my devotees. They took my heart away. And I am completely surrendered unto them. Whatever they want from me, I will do. And only what they want from me, I will do. So this is one thing which we have to understand. Krishna's mood, childlike mood, totally, completely unshakable. He is in this mood, and he is not going to change this mood under no circumstances. He will always remain helpless, bewildered child in Vrindavan. Sometimes he will manifest his Aishwarya, but this Aishwarya is just a little, to make it a little spicy. To make the relationship more variegated and, to make the sweetness even stronger. But ultimately the sweetness is there. And another, the most amazing feature which we also have to understand it and which we'll see is that, we can understand that Krishna is like this. After all, he is the Supreme Lord. He can do whatever he likes. And he comes, and if he chooses to come in this form, what can we do? But the most amazing thing about all these stories and kathas of Vrindavan is that his devotees, no matter how many times they see the manifestations of Krishna's prowess and his complete, power, they just cannot believe it. They just brush it away. They say, no, this is just some, they explain it out in different ways, and they say, no. This is our Gopal. As much as this mood of love is established in the hearts of Krishna, even more firmly, it is established in the hearts of his devotees. They just don't want to know that he is the Supreme Lord. Sometimes we know this story when, after Govardhan Lila, when Krishna for 7 days was holding the whole mountain in the pinky of his left hand, by the end of the seventh day, they started thinking, something must be wrong here. Who is this child? You know, because initially they were trying to help him with this, you know, with the sticks, you know, don't worry, we're helping you. But then even they became tired. After all, for 7 days and seven nights, they were holding and holding and holding, and Krishna is standing there and smiling. You know, by the end of the seventh day, they became little thoughtful. They said, who is he? And they called everyone, and they called Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, and they, and Nanda and Sunanda and Upananda, all the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, and they were there, and they were saying, you know, you remember what Garga Muni told you, and look what happened, you know, so many times, he must be something really special. And there is this place in Vrindavan which is called Nanda Baitak, the place where they had all these sabhas, assemblies for the gopas. And Nanda Maharaj, he was listening and listening and listening, and he said, yes, 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 Garga Muni said something, but please tell me, you know, how is he so special when he cannot control his senses? I know my little child, you know, if I give him some laddus, he cannot stop eating these laddus. I have to tell him, stop it. It's not good for your health. You know, and he started saying, when there is a thunder and lightning in the sky, you know, my little child, he wakes up. And he runs to me and he says, Pita, 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 what is this? You know, how is he so special? He's not special. So the other amazing quality of the love of Brijbasis is that they don't want to know that Krishna is God. Because they know that if we know this, we will not be able to love him the same way as we love him now. And that's it, finished. And therefore, you know, this powerful yoga maya is helping them to remain completely bewildered about the real nature of Krishna. And they are totally, completely convinced that Gopal is our small child. Like Arjuna, he is, according to our understanding, is in a lower category of devotee. And when Krishna manifested his universal form, Arjuna became totally afraid and his love broke. His Sakya Bhav, his feelings of love towards Krishna, his friendly feelings of love towards Krishna, they became disturbed. And he said, oh Krishna, please forgive me, how foolish I was. I was calling you, oh Krishna, oh Yadava. Now I understand you're God. And Krishna looked at him and said, what's wrong with you, Arjuna? So Krishna actually, when the devotees in other places, when they manifest this awe and reverence, Krishna becomes not happy. He is not happy at all. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that when he came to Devaki and Vasudev after killing Kamsa. And Devaki and Vasudev, they watched this amazing display of his power when the most powerful demon who was controlling the whole universe. The demigods were afraid of Kamsa, so powerful he was. And this, you know, powerful demon was killed by this little small child. And when Gopal came to Devaki and Vasudev, you know, after doing this feat of, after this heroic feat, he probably wanted some, you know, some praises or something, and Devaki and Vasudev, they were totally, totally, completely awestruck. You know, when you come to somebody who is very great, you feel very inhibited. You know, if you come to a president of a country, you're there, but you want to run away as soon as possible. You don't want to be near him because you feel very completely, you know, so much prowess this man has, you know. I was once visiting one politician. It was actually Sonia Gandhi. But I really felt, you know, she has a Shakti, no doubt about it. She was a very powerful presence. She had a very powerful presence. And I could feel it, you know, you can physically feel it. But, you know, when you feel this, you just don't feel anything else. You just want to run away. You feel uneasy in the presence of this. So when Krishna manifests this power, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they say, oh, this is just, you know, this is just some tricks of some demigods or whatever it is. You know, when Mother Yashoda saw this universal form in the mouth of Krishna, and her head started reeling, you know, and she thought, what is this? What is this Maya? What is the cause of this? Some demigod is doing this, or who is doing this? You know, and then for a split second, for a fraction of a moment, her mood of Vatsalya Ras changed. Just for a little fraction of a second. And when this mood was somewhat little bit shaken because she became a little bewildered, then immediately Krishna, he just, you know, some acharyas said that some cat was nearby and cat started, you know, meow, meow, meow. And Krishna became very afraid and, you know, and he hid himself away on the, you know, the sari of Mother Yashoda. Mama, who is this cat? And Mother Yashoda, you know, Vatsalya Rasa came to her again and she said, oh, okay, forget about it. She immediately forgot about it. She was not impressed at all. So this exchanges of love between Krishna and his devotees are so sweet because of this. Devotees, they just love Krishna. And even if they know that he is God, and they know, they do know, deep down in their hearts, they all know. But what they say, oh, I'm very fortunate. God has become my son. And he belongs to me. And I will teach him a lesson. So, they know he's God. It's not that they don't know. They know. They do know. But at the same time, they do not want to know. They do not want to be aware of this because they know that ultimately the most important thing for us is to love him. So when the famous story happened, I will finish right now. When the famous story happened, when Krishna wanted to show to Narada Muni, who are the greatest devotees, he told Narada Muni, I have a headache. Terrible headache, please. And Narada Muni was running around and was trying to help him, and Krishna said, please bring me some dust from the feet of the devotees. And Narada Muni, he ran out of the palace and he started crying, Krishna has headache, give me some dust from your lotus feet. And everyone was running away from him. And everyone was saying, you must be crazy. We will not give our dust from our feet to Krishna. We will go to hell. And then Narada Muni came back to Krishna and he said, my dear sir, they don't want to give dust from their feet. They're afraid of going to hell. And Krishna said, what can I do? I have this terrible headache. Please go to Vrindavan, try there. After all, you can fly fast, so do it. I need some medicine. Give me some dust. And Narada Muni came and he said, Krishna has some headache. And, you know, all the gopis ran towards him. In Dwarak, everyone was running away because they didn't want. And the gopis was, you know, scraping their feet and saying, please take dust from my feet. Take. And Narada Muni said, don't you know that you will go to hell? And they said, yes, of course we know. Of course we know, because he's God. 100% we will go to hell for unlimited number of birth times. For eons we will be in hell. But what is this hell?
if Krishna has headache? What is this hell for us? This is the hell for us. You told us that Krishna has headache. This is the hell for us. It's worse than any other hell. And to relieve from him from this suffering, we are ready to go to hell. No problem for us. So the point is, again, the same. You know, Brijbasis, they know Krishna is God. But at the same time, they don't know. Why? Because their love is too strong. And they do not want to have anything else. They only want to have this love. And for the sake of this love, then don't mind to go to hell. Because for them, there is no suffering greater than not to have this love. And there is no pleasure greater than to have this love. And this is what is called ahaituki apratihata. Why their love is apratihata? Because for them, in their understanding, there is no suffering greater than not to have this love. And for the sake of this love, they are ready to give up everything else. And this very love, this very mood, is our goal. And when this mood will be permanently established in our heart, this stage is called bhava. When the sthayi bhava comes to our heart, which defines our own existence, our sthayi bhava in relationship with Krishna, which defines our existence, when it comes to our heart, then only we can say that we achieve the goal of our practice. And everything else which we do, we ultimately do to achieve this goal. So that this sthayi bhava, this permanent mood, unshakable, unbroken mood of permanent love would be firmly established in our heart. For that we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And for that we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, do we have time for questions? Okay. Yeah? Yes, Dayananda Maharaj, please.
Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj. You were saying that Krishna, that the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, they actually know Krishna is God, but they're so minded that they want to forget. They want to have that relationship of spontaneous attraction, mm-hmm. Or natural relationship, not all in reverence, madhurya. So what is Krishna's outlook? Because when Lord Indra tried to kill the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he was a young boy holding the hill on his pinky finger, mm-hmm. and reciprocating with the resident of Vrindavan. But afterwards, he also instructed Indra. So it seems like he's in the same sort of situation, that he remembers his God, but he still wants to maintain that relationship with the inhabitants of Vrindavan.
Yeah. With Indra, he remains God. And with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he remains a small child. Indra cannot force him to be a child. Indra actually very much wanted him to remain a child. It didn't really work. But inhabitants of Vrindavan, they have this power over him. And they keep him as their pet child. And their mood is not broken. You know, it is said, I think Uddhava says that Gopi says, then when he comes back from herding the cows from the pastures, all the demigods they come and they greet him and they chant mantras in Sanskrit and they chant all these Vedic hymns,
And his friends are with him. But the friends, you know, they were just laughing and they saying, Gopal, who is this, you know, with four heads, you know? Who's this guy? What is he doing here? So, yes, Krishna knows and he reciprocates. He perfectly reciprocates. He is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is perfectly capable of reciprocating with everyone. And when, you know, Brahma is there chanting his mantras, he is reciprocating with them, with him. But at the same time, he is busy dealing with his friends. And ultimately, we have to understand that, you know, he can't care less about Brahma. He just wants to be with his friends. Okay. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.